morning. This Tuesday, again, we have food pantry. We are in need of volunteers starting in September. We're finding that instead of manning it with two or three people, we need more like four people just to help with the parking issues and things like that. So we will be having a sign-up sheet next week up front. If you can donate some of your time, again, it's Tuesdays 2 to 4. Wednesday, we have youth group here from 6:30 to 8:30 for grades 6 and to 12. Mark your calendar, September 10th, which is a Friday night at 6 p.m. We're going to have a special guest speaker from Rwanda. You don't want to miss it. So, you know, mark your calendars now because you guys will be blessed. Also, endurance pickup today. There'll be a text sent out an hour before they're actually going to make it here. Amanda thought between 1 and 2 roughly, but watch your phones to know when to come pick up your kids. So at this time, we can dismiss kids for Kids Church.
Came in a little bit here, a little bit there. How's everybody doing? Doing great. Awesome. Thanks. Glad you guys could be here with us. Glad for everybody connected with us online. It's just great when we get to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? So awesome. So awesome. Last week, we were speaking about the endless and the immeasurable love that God has for each one of his children. And it's of that love that I want to continue speaking about this morning, okay? And again, I apologize if I may look or sound a little haggard. Camp is rough. It's awesome, but it's rough. It takes a toll, especially on older people, but it's great. And I can't wait to see them back here again with you all and telling you guys about it. It's so cool. I love it up there. It's at Pilgrim Pines, and if you guys didn't get to go this year, go next year. I encourage it. And it's great. We got to spend all that time together. All the kids, all the teachers, all the leaders, game masters, people who are just behind the scenes, setting it up, all of that. And it's crazy. It's crazy competition. There's a lot of team building. There's a lot of time of worship, a lot of time in the Word together. It's an incredible weekend. It's awesome. I can't wait till I get to tell you all about it. And I'm sure it's been a wonderful experience for these guys, for the kiddos. I was watching them. I was one of the game masters, so I got to torch them a little bit. It was kind of fun. I promise they're not permanently damaged. They're coming back to you home. But it was a great time. Got to serve them. Got to worship with them. Got to teach. Got to do the Word. They're coming back. They are. They won't be permanently damaged. So, you know, I'm not saying that any of them had to maybe retrieve items from a large pool of slimy Jello. I'm not saying that, right? Maybe they had to kind of play this game called dodgeball. There's this huge wall of boxes, and there's an onslaught of dodgeballs trying to knock that down for points. Maybe, possibly, they had to lay down and hold a big inflatable bowling pin on them to have yoga balls rolled, and they were like human bowling pins. It was crazy stuff. This game of spoons on the lake, even, where they had to play the game of cards on the dock, but the spoons were out there in the water, and then there was a swimming race to go get it. It was crazy, right? But throughout all the fun, all the camaraderie, all the melee, all the crazy awesomeness, that was secondary. Secondary to our main objective and our time spent together in endurance. That was a time that was spent together learning about, demonstrating, and receiving the love of God, okay? They got to see the love of God in action as they stood together in their teams, helping each other, right? As one would help and love another, picking each other up, cheering each other on, worshiping Jesus. It was just so great to see all these teams just worshiping Jesus together and learning the Word together. And all the while, the Holy Spirit was just there, moving within them, moving among them, right? Moving throughout the entire weekend together. And we spent that time just loving our God. Right, having just such a joy in his presence, learning how to work together, okay, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the weak, the strong together, the athletes, the mathletes, all points in between. It was awesome to see how it went. One body, many members, right? It's one mighty force in God's kingdom that I mentioned was a great time. And every endurance weekend has a theme. It's a theme that's derived from the very Word of God, and I want to share that with you this morning, what this theme was this year at Endurance, what it was all about. If you guys would turn with me to Mark chapter 10, We're going to be looking today primarily at verses 46 through 52. That's where we'll hang out as we read about a blind man named Bartimaeus and how this man caught the attention of Jesus in a very special way as Jesus and his disciples were making their way past Jericho, headed towards Jerusalem. It was towards the end of Jesus' mission and his time here on earth where Jesus would make his ultimate sacrifice for you and for me and for all of mankind. So needless to say, he had a lot on his mind, right? There was a lot going on. But before I read you the passage, the word, we're not going to get there yet, all right? I want to just set the stage. I want to take a moment, just draw a mental picture with you about the story, the scene, and the miracle that was yet to come. So for the average person, okay, it was just another sunny day, right? It was a beautiful day in Jericho. Weather was pretty even, pretty good there. People were hustling, bustling. They were going about in daily commerce, camaraderie. The palm trees were gently swaying overhead, right, as a refreshing sea breeze passed through the city. The streets were filled with many pilgrims who were on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. And it was just another typical day in King Herod's Paradise City. It was a great place to live and another great day to be in the city unless you were among the masses of unfortunate souls whose tattered blankets and mats would line the dusty, dirty route that led out of the city heading on up to Jerusalem. And for those people, those who were forced into desolation and destitution, they had no choice but to become beggars on the side of the road. And this was just one of hundreds, to them, hundreds of seemingly never-ending days, miserable, moment-laden, disappointing, disgraceful, downtrodden, and discarded days for them, for those unfortunate souls. And if they had any luck at all in a given day, they might come into a few coins. Maybe it would drop down to them from travelers on their journey to Jerusalem, right, headed up for the Passover. But more often than not, they were just ignored. They were even scoffed at for their audacity of putting up their hands in need or lifting their voices in desperation, leaving out their cloak in front of them to receive these just skint, minuscule charities of begrudging travelers, bothered even by their presence and their persistence. So day after day, these people on the side of the road, they'd be passed by countless pedestrians without so much as a glance, without so much as a passing glance. As those passers-by, they passed those whom they passed over, right, as they were on their pilgrimage to the Passover. A lot of peas in there, but I couldn't help it. Those poor beggars, they were reduced in status and in stature. They were removed from society. They were disregarded. They were discarded. We're really painting the picture here, right? Left to bake in the hot sun with not much more than maybe a few crumbs of food to eat, even if that. And remember, they had tattered robes at best for clothes, maybe a robe, right? A shoddy blanket by the wayside that they would call that home. That was their home. Okay, and it was the sum total also of their worldly possession. They were ignored. They were forgotten. They were stuck right where they were as the world passed them in repeated reminder of their pain, their misery, and their misfortune, right? And as terrible as the scene as this sets, it would have been so much worse now for this man named Bartimaeus. Not only was he impoverished to the point of begging each day for his very existence, he was blind to boot. And he'd been blind since birth. And once upon a time, in better days, his parents took care of him, right? At least while they were alive. And now here he is. His parents have died. No one's caring for him. And he's now forced to live and to beg along the Jericho Road in seemingly endless misery and continual darkness. It's better. But, right, it's a pretty rough spot for him. Right? His whole world is just spanning only as far as his hands could reach and his ears could hear. Speaking of ears, here comes the rain. Again. On this particular day, his ears do hear something. And there's talk. There's talk amongst all the beggars at the gate of a man who's coming, and someone tells him that Jesus is going to be coming by. And Bartimaeus thinks to himself now, is this the man, is this him that they claim can heal the sick, make the lame walk, the dumb to talk, the blind to see? Is this him? And this brings feelings now in Bartimaeus of hope and excitement, okay? And these are feelings that he's held down. He's held them dormant in the recesses of his very soul, abandoning them into darkness when he felt all hope for him was lost. But today, this is it.
Right? Today, this is it. This is my chance to be healed, he's thinking. Oh, to see this world with my own eyes. With my own eyes. People's faces, trees, waving around, sunrises, sunsets, the countryside, the sea, right? Things he's never witnessed with his eyes. Oh, and this is also going to be a way forward for me from this life of shame, locked in stationary solitude, to get up and to lead a normal life as do other people. Could I truly be able to see? Would Jesus heal me? Would he even see me down here? Right? I may never get this chance again, he's thinking. I want to meet Jesus, he says. I want to cry out to him that he would hear me and that he would heal me. But the crowd now is getting louder. The rising din is almost impenetrable, flooded with the voices of many people asking Jesus questions, asking Jesus for favors, right? People pushing forward towards Jesus to at least catch a glimpse of him, right? As he passed by, the beggars on the side of the road all crying out for charity, hoping this crowd of people would, as they're headed to Jerusalem, would be in a generous mood, a happy mood, with all the excitement, with all the activity going on. And maybe these Jesus and his disciples, maybe they would drop a little extra coin on our cloaks today, or give them some food, right, as they came by on their way to Jerusalem. Help they have so desperately waited for, and this could be that day. Right? And this day, Bartimaeus is hoping Jesus can help him. Not with money or with food, but with sight. And he has an encounter with Jesus now that's going to change his life forever. Okay, so let's look to God's word again, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." So what's going on here? As Jesus and his disciples are leaving the city to walk up the Jericho road to Jerusalem, Bartimaeus, who may be blind physically, has enough spiritual insight here, at least to realize that Jesus is just more than a passing prophet, more than just a miracle worker from Nazareth. And so Bartimaeus, he calls out to Jesus, recognizing who he is, and in doing so, calls out to Jesus by name as the Son of David, crying out to Jesus to have mercy on him. And this actually seems to irritate the crowd. It says in verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. People would turn around, right? They'd look down at Bartimaeus and tell him to be quiet, you foolish old man. Just stop talking. Be quiet. Can't you see that Jesus has no time for a lowly beggar like you? Huh. And there are so many others here, yet don't stand a chance of getting to Jesus. So relax. Keep quiet. But Bartimaeus is having no part of this today, no part of what they're saying. And he ignores them completely. He shouted all the more, the word says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Can any of us relate to Bartimaeus? Have any of us ever cried out to the Lord feeling that he can't hear us? That Jesus would not be able to hear our cry above all the noise and all the infinite busyness of the universe that crowds around our Lord and our Savior. Have we ever asked ourselves, why would Jesus take the time to reach back and help a person like me? And if any of us, have any of us ever had a dream, wanted something so badly that there was nothing and there was no one that could stand in our way as we go after it, right? Nothing that we could stop, nothing that could stop us, excuse me, from just calling out, not caring how we sound or how we appear as we cry out in total desperation in quest of the acquisition. Not caring about the ridicule or perhaps the rebuke, other people's opinions on what we're doing as we persevere towards that prize. Because you see, only the one who is willing to give everything they have, persevering in the face of overwhelming obstacle, can achieve renewed strength through their faith in Christ Jesus. Our faith begins with our cry for the Lord's mercy. Psalm 102, verses 1 and 2, speaks of the Lord's eternal love. And this passage is a prayer of the afflicted when that person or persons, they're overwhelmed and they pour out their complaint, they cry out, as it says, before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. Please, quickly come. And what happens next here in the story, in this interaction with Jesus and Bartimaeus, is one of the most powerful events in all of Scripture. Listen to this to me. Jesus, hours away from his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, days away from the Last Supper with his disciples, a week away from his walk down the Via Dolorosa and his death on the cross, Jesus stood still. Jesus, amid the tumult and the chaos and the pressing in of the people, heard the cry of poor blind Bartimaeus. Jesus could have easily kept going. Jesus could have chosen to only deal with what was right before him and look no further or hear no further, much like we would tend to expect to happen in our own human reasoning. I can only deal with what's right here, right now, thinking he's much too busy to help me, or maybe that I'm not worth helping. But Jesus did not pass him by. No, he didn't. Jesus heard Bartimaeus calling out his name, and Jesus stood still. Right? He stood still. It says in verse 49, back in Mark 10, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him. Bring him here." Jesus, the one who was on an eternal errand from God. Jesus, the one on his way to Calvary to die for all the sins of all mankind. Jesus, the creator of the universe, creator of the heavens and the earth, all mankind, all creation, the busiest being in the history of busy beings, right? Who could have just as easily stayed busy in that moment, cranking on that eternal checklist of heavenly things that he has to do. He stood still. Jesus stood still for Bartimaeus. And look what happened next. So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Cheer up." Wait a minute, who's just telling them, the blind man, to cheer up? You mean the same people who are actually telling him to sit down, zibit, be quiet, right? You mean those people are now like, "Hey, Jesus wants to see you, get up. Be of good cheer, go get him," right? No. So the word speaks to this particular phenomenon or situation. Psalm 23, verse 5, says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." So when you cry out to Jesus over your pain, over your circumstance, over the overwhelmingness of where you feel you may be stuck or perhaps held there even by some outside influence, and you feel there's just no way forward, Jesus says that when I reach back to you, when I reach out to you, hearing the cry of your heart, hearing you call out my name in your pain and in your suffering and your anguish, I not only hear you, watch this, the very people who blocked you and locked you into that space where you've been stuck for so long through circumstance, through instance, they're going to be also the very same people who will bear witness to the blessings I have in store for you. When I give you the strength to walk through that situation and come out in victory on the other side. Because Genesis 50:20 says resoundingly, "But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about this day to save many people alive." No matter how bad people have tried to hold you back or silence you or have done you wrong, no matter how bad you've done wrong in your own esteem, feel you're too far gone, unredeemable in my eyes, as Jesus would say, no matter how busy you think I am, Jesus, and feel I would never take the time to reach back to someone like you, my child, you have it all wrong. Cry out to me. Call upon my name. I will hear you. I will stand still and have mercy on you, says the Lord. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, as the word tells us in Matthew 11:28-29. You see, even as almighty and majestic and on high as Jesus is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is also gentle and lowly in heart. He has particular interest in those who are suffering, those who are lost. And he wants you to know how much he loves you. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's Lamentations 3. And so Bartimaeus, he wastes no time. Back in verse 50 here, Mark 10. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. And don't miss this right here. Bartimaeus wastes no time in throwing his cloak aside. And this is huge. Why is this huge? Because he gave up everything he had to get up and follow Jesus. Remember, his cloak and a mat or a raggedy blanket, they would have been all he had in the entire world. That would have been it. That's all his possessions. And we may not see that as a whole lot, but if it's all he has, could we say that we could do the same in that moment? Could we just throw it all to follow Jesus? Remember how it went for the rich young ruler in Mark 10, earlier in that chapter, when he asked Jesus how he could essentially earn his way into heaven, and then counted the cost too high, counted it as too high when Jesus told him to let go of all of that. That would be the cost to follow Jesus. And Bartimaeus didn't even think. He didn't blink. He didn't hesitate. He jumped to his feet. Still blind, mind you. He's on his feet. He still can't see what's next. But he ran to Jesus. Okay? That's big. Leaving his whole world behind in anticipation of living a whole new life with Christ. Faith is believing without seeing. Right? And so Bartimaeus comes face to face with Jesus. And Jesus asks him, Mark 10, verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Now again, don't miss what's happening. You lay this request against all of what went on in Mark chapter 10. You'd see a stark contrast in what the other characters in this passage wanted versus what Bartimaeus was looking for. The Pharisees wanted to outsmart him. They wanted to trap Jesus. The rich man wanted maximum eternal security at a minimum cost. Right? James and John wanted glory and authority within God's kingdom. But Bartimaeus really wanted to see. He just asked to see. That's where we should all be. Right? What do you want me to do for you is the most important question God ever asks us, and we tend to frequently give the wrong answer. I know I do. But not Bartimaeus, not here, not this time. He wanted to receive his sight just as we all should be seeking Jesus in response to his question, asking for spiritual sight, asking for that which reveals his true nature, right, to us in all things, and that which will result in true riches and glory within his eternal kingdom, not because we asked for them, but because he chose to reward us with them. Because we did not ask for riches, but for instead the spiritual sight to see that can only come from Jesus, to walk by the leading of the Holy Spirit and to know when he is speaking to us. When he's directing our path, and responding to that direction without looking back or clinging to the things of the world that do not come with us when we ascend into heaven for all time and eternity. Amen? Here comes the ring. And when Bartimaeus responded to Jesus, right, responded to his call to come to him, and Bartimaeus then left his whole former world behind him to come to Jesus, here it comes. Jesus says to him in verse 50, Mark 10, "So go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and then followed Jesus along the road. What a tremendous model of true faith. We have here Bartimaeus, willing to stop at nothing in his persistence to call out to Jesus. And we are also called to pray without ceasing, calling out to Jesus, as the word says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Here we have this man willing to step out of a world that he's known all his life, casting off the past, reaching for a bold and new, yet still uncertain, can't see it yet, future, putting his faith in the one who says he is the Son of God. And in his faith, he receives God's mercy and his grace. And it's that kind of faith that breaks through a lifetime of darkness and grabs hold of the light.
Our eyes now open,
and we're face to face with Jesus.
Psalm 34, 6 says, the poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
And so here's the challenge. Here's the plea from our Father and our Lord and our Savior. Here's the leading on your life, Holy Spirit. Are you ready to leave the roadside? Right?
Are you ready to leave the roadside? Are you ready to leave that place that you've been stuck in for so long, maybe all of your life, just like blind Bartimaeus? Are you willing to risk it all and just cry out to Jesus and cast off your cloak of self-righteousness and pride? Right, and come to Jesus in confession and contrition, laying down all your sin and shame at the foot of the cross.
We're in that moment. You can do that. You'd be so bold as to do that as Bartimaeus was. Jesus will stand still for you.
Okay? Jesus will put all of time and space on hold for you in that moment. And I can promise you that. He's done it for me. I'll absolutely do it for you.
But you have to call out to him. You must call out to him and not let the din of this world around you hold any sway in your life.
Cry out to Jesus this day and ask him to receive the gift of sight, that his light may pour into your present darkness and drive it far from you, that your eyes will be opened by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Never underestimate the power of prayer. Be persistent in your prayers to God.
The Word tells us as much. We are to pray constantly. Not for our glory, but for His glory. Pray for His grace, pray for His mercy to be upon our lives, with spiritual eyes to see the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we may respond in faith and in obedience to Him who calls us, and be that light in a dark world that Jesus once poured into our lives, when we thought the darkness for us would never end. Amen?
You want to see Jesus move in your life? Be in constant submission to Jesus, coming before Him in prayer and in supplication, both in thanks and in earnest and humble petition. And you get to see the power of Jesus there. You will see the power of Jesus released into your life in ways that you could never imagine.
Heavenly awesomeness happens when we pray with our spiritual eyes open and have them focused on Jesus. When Moses prayed, the seas parted and God's people crossed on dry land, and they were saved. When Solomon prayed, the temple was built. When David prayed, the armies of his enemies were defeated. And when Daniel prayed, the mouths of the lions were shut. And when Esther prayed, the Hebrews were spared. And when Nehemiah prayed, the walls of the city were rebuilt.
And when all God's people get together and pray, okay, oh Lord have mercy, we have not seen anything yet happen.
No, but we will. We will see. I can promise you that. So let's do ourselves a favor this day. Okay, let's have some time in prayer with Jesus, each one of us, every day, each day, right?
Just follow the Word, pray constantly, be in that relationship with Jesus, be in tune with the Holy Spirit, and remember, as we head for the close this morning, just in time for you to run out of the pouring rain.
just as old blind Bartimaeus did, be sure to cast off that old cloak. Take a good look into your heart. Take a good look into mine. I'm not saying do it if I'm not willing to do it myself. And let's find out. Let's look in there and let's find out what might be keeping us from getting up from the wayside and more along Jesus' side. Okay? What remains in our lives that needs putting off and laying aside? What's going on in our life that keeps our spiritual blinders on, blocking out the fullness of the light of Jesus? What's holding us back from leaving our old life behind and deciding to follow Jesus fully and from now on? I didn't say perfectly, because we didn't get issued that card in our lives. All right, we're imperfect beings. We may not be perfect, but we can be obedient to the call of Jesus in our lives. But to do that, we need to get up off the side of the road and get ourselves situated where Jesus is and follow Him all the days of our lives. Amen? Can we be honest with ourselves? Can we admit to ourselves that maybe we've just been a little too comfortable there on the side of the road? Maybe we'd rather just sit there in our blindness so we don't have to
take up the full responsibility of being that disciple of Christ. Maybe the bleachers are just more familiar, more comfortable, more predictable, dare I say even safe, even in our misery. Then maybe getting up and getting into the game and serving the kingdom of Jesus. Not only receiving the good news of the gospel of saving grace, but also sharing our testimonies, our stories with others who need Jesus, even with each other, right? And how Jesus met us in our sin and our shame and in our suffering and in our darkness. And he then stood still. And he poured out his light upon us, opening our eyes to see that that first thing that we saw when our eyes were open was what? It was Jesus. Right? It was Jesus. The face of Jesus was looking back at us. And he tells us he loves us and he's come to save us and he can save them too. Right? Jesus will stand still and call us to him when we call upon his name and seek his mercy and his grace. The good news is Jesus walks among us today. He walks among us today, walking the highways, walking the byways of life, looking for those whom life has passed by, maybe left for the begging. And Jesus is willing to stand still for all those who would call on his name. Everyone seeking his grace and his mercy, and he will be quick to give it. The Lord will respond to you this day. He will ask you, what can I do for you? The question is, how will we respond to that question? Bartimaeus called upon the name of Jesus for mercy and rescue and healing and leading in his life, and Bartimaeus asked that he could have eyes to see, and so could we. Amen? We can stand, let's have voices to sing. Let's worship Jesus, the Lord and our Savior, who joined us to talk. Sing the song, Rescuer. Just bear in mind that just Jesus took that time and stood still for each one of us. He is our rescuer. We are free from sin, as the song says, forevermore.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We're not free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound, oh how grace abounds, and we will praise the Lord our rescuer. There is good news for the captain, good news for the shame, there is good